Hello, everyone. I decided to do a solo podcast today. I just wanted to share a stream of consciousness about the topic of localized manufacturing or reshoring. We've been posting quite a bit on this lately, and so I just wanted to fill in some of the gaps on our thinking behind this. So let's talk about what relocalization or reshoring means, at least to the team at Alchemy. Welcome to the Manufacture Houston podcast, where Houston's manufacturers come to share, learn, and grow. Brought to you by Alchemy Industrial. For more information, check out alchemyindustrial.com. Well, first of all, it doesn't mean bringing every product that is currently outsourced outside the United States back into the U.S. Some things don't make sense to bring back into the U.S., but a lot of products do. And so I think the first question is, how do you decide what to bring back to your local economy or back into the United States? So I think there's a few things to think about. One of them is security of supply. There are certain kinds of products that you really want to make close to the demand point, or at least closer to the demand point. And the security might be driven by things like the importance of that product or that part and the overall operations of something else. So is it a critical component? Are there sort of certain IP related issues related to that product that could impact the security of that product? Or do you just need it a lot quicker in order to meet changing demand? So there's a few other factors I think to think about, but the first decision is really to think about, what do I want to bring back into the United States? So I think that's sort of the top level decision to consider. I think there's some other reasons to consider reshoring from a general standpoint once you've decided to bring some of your product back. And I'm not going to list all of them, but let me just list a few of them that I think are worth thinking about. One of them we've already talked about, which is risk and how you evaluate risk. And I think it's really important to price that risk into the product manufacturing decisions. Today, we don't really price risk in. We know risk is there. We know that it's present. And not all risk is the same, but there are some risks that are worth pricing in. In other parts of our lives, we price risk in by paying insurance premiums, and that's the cost that we consider in overall decision making. So if you own a car, you have an insurance policy. If you have a building, you've got an insurance policy. If you've got employees, you've got insurance policies that cover risks associated with people working. But when we make product purchase decisions or manufacturing decisions, we don't really price in risk, because there's no insurance policy that we directly buy. I think that we should consider those kinds of prices now very overtly. And I think if you think about the actual risk of things, it could impact the price. It should impact the actual landed price of that product. The second thing to think about besides risk in the decision-making around reshoring or the factors around reshoring is how quickly you can manage your product development cycle. In my experience, the quicker you can develop new products or iterate on new products, the greater competitive advantage you can build. And so one of the factors in speed is proximity between your manufacturing and engineering teams. The closer they are, literally physically closer they are, the faster you can iterate. And again, in my experience, you can actually get some of those teams together in one place, literally in the same building or in the same building from time to time, you can accelerate product development. So that's one of the other factors besides risk to think about that can impact overall reshoring. The other positive factor of reshoring or relocalization is the impact that it has on the local economy. Manufacturing, as everybody knows, is a great long tail industry. And so that means that any manufacturing work that you do in your economy is going to produce a ton of jobs around it. And that's just really healthy for the local economy, improves the local tax base, it improves general economic conditions in that area. and just overall well-being for the community. Maybe that's difficult to price into your decisions, but I think that people that buy products, if they're really going to think about things holistically, they should be considering those kinds of things. The final factor, at least that I think about, is everything under the category of ESG or environmental social governance. I think one of the more apparent things around ESG is the E piece. So shipping a product all the way from thousands of miles away versus making it locally and then shipping it closer to demand has a direct reduction in emissions productions. I think there's some other advantages when you think about ESG, but reduction in emissions is an important one. So just to sort of summarize those thoughts, the first overall step is to think about what you want to reshore and why that's important to you. And then once you've decided to reshore something, there's four or so factors, at least I think about, that can help shape how you evaluate and how you might price in reshoring decisions, speed of product development, risk, the impact on local jobs, and then ESG types of issues. So I think those are some of the things to think about. Now, in terms of reshoring or even building brand new products in the United States, it's not as easy as it might seem. One of the big challenges in bringing stuff back to the US is bringing back all the knowledge associated with that particular product build. So this includes sort of mundane things like certain design elements, drawings, etc. But probably more importantly, there's a ton of know-how that comes with manufacturing things that never quite make their way to engineering drawings or any other type of documentation. So one of the first steps in our experience to take is to first properly document a technical requirements document that includes a ton of information, including design narratives, intent behind the design, who you're making this for, what are the important process or performance considerations, and a variety of other factors too. So you've got to take that first step and have a great documentation step and a technical requirements document. And I will tell you, this can be sort of a pain in the butt. It's rigorous work, but it's also important work to get this step done. Once you've got a great technical requirements document, then you can move to assembling the right kinds of engineering, an engineering file. And that engineering file can include drawings, it can include quality requirements, quality plan. It can also include other types of data that's important that you can send to the manufacturing floor where you can execute manufacturing at scale. Again, some of this stuff might seem a bit mundane, but it's extremely important to get some of these steps right because it really is empowering you as a product owner to really understand how to make the products that you're making. So that's the second step. First step is the technical requirements document. And then the second step is getting the engineering file done. The third step is to complete a rigorous supply chain assessment. And this includes understanding where each component originates, understanding where each component could be sensitive to disruptions, and then having a plan B or even a plan C around each one of these components. This step can be tough because it's such a dynamic world right now, and things that you thought were secure are becoming insecure sometimes overnight. We had an experience recently where we're building some products for a customer. And one of the components is coming originally from Poland. And so everyone is aware of what's happening in the region nowadays. And so that particular supply chain became unstable literally overnight. In fact, the factory that is producing this one component had some kind of a cyber attack, which has locked down their systems. So they literally cannot generate orders, pick components from their warehouse so they can ship them to the United States. You wouldn't really think about that ordinarily, and it's hard to game out every scenario, but I think it's really important to at least intentionally start writing down where the sensitivities are in your supply chain so you can at least have your backup plans ready. One of the more interesting parts of a supply chain assessment is understanding that if you do have a supply chain weakness, that you can sometimes engineer around it. I'll give you an example. So back to this product that we're manufacturing, we had a certain transformer that was part of the design. That transformer itself became somewhat unavailable in supply chain. So we decided to engineer around that transformer and selected a transformer that was more available. So you can't always do this, but this is the value of having a rigorous supply chain assessment, and also the value of having your technical requirements document done and your engineering file properly done, because you can make some of these changes through there. And then the fourth step is have a manufacturing plan, and that's really just how are you going to make it, what technologies are you going to use, how are you going to track manufacturing, how will you communicate through that manufacturing process. So those are the four major steps that we take our customers through once we've decided to help them make something. So that's the technical requirements document and design narrative. That's step number two is the engineering file. The third step is supply chain and supply chain assessment, and the fourth step is the manufacturing plan. So lots to think about when it comes to reshoring. Just to sort of summarize my comments, step one is to determine what you want to bring back and have a good reason behind it. The second part of the journey is to consider the overall or holistic pricing elements to determine what your real cost is and delivering that product. And there's four of those sub pieces, including speed of product development, risk, the impact on local jobs, and ESG considerations. All those things should go into the actual landed price or cost of the product that you're making. And then once you've gone through all that and you've decided to bring something back and you understand the real cost or the real price associated with it, then you've got to go through a series of steps to properly build that product wherever you are in the United States, including setting requirements, technical requirements, producing the right kind of engineering file, going through supply chain assessment and redundancy plan, and finally having a sound manufacturing plan in order to execute this work. So this can seem overwhelming, but in our experience, you've got to go through some of these steps to do it the right way. And this is something that we do with our customers, and we help them with that. But you know, there's probably some other ways to do it. I'm sure there is, but this is the way that this process is the thing that seems to be working for us and helps us deliver value to our customers. So anyway, just wanted to share, as I said at the top of the podcast, some thoughts on reshoring. It's a great sort of philosophical cry and movement, but I also think there's some rigor that you have to put behind this in order for it to work really well. So as always, reach out to me on LinkedIn. Or reach out to us on our website at alchemyindustrial.com, and we'd love to help anyone with this process. And we look forward to hearing from you. Thanks.
This has been the Manufacture Houston podcast, brought to you by Alchemy Industrial. For more information, check out alchemyindustrial.com. If you'd like to be on the show or want to recommend someone to get on the show, just reach out to me on LinkedIn. Mushkhan. I look forward to hearing from you.